Thank you, Godwin Worship Team. Those songs fit beautifully with what we're talking about, and especially with what we will be talking about today. So good morning, everybody. It is good, as always, to be with you here at Grace Point. I've gotten to spend 3 of the past 4 weeks with you, which is just so fun and great. So thank you for that. We have spent this time in this mini series in this book, this beloved book that we use so often, but don't often dive deeply into, this beloved book of Psalms that speaks to and validates our human experiences and emotions and faith lives and questions and yearnings. And we've noticed, along with Walter Brueggemann, that these Psalms have 3 phases in them. They kind of represent 3 different cycles, this pattern that you can see in this graphic. And it starts out in this phase of orientation, it moves to disorientation, and then comes back to reorientation. And so too go our lives, our faith stories. They cycle through these times over and over and over again. Sometimes we are near to God and we praise him and it's easy to see him at work. We see him in our life, in our communities, in our worlds. We know that he's active. We are oriented. And sometimes, as we saw in week 2, we feel abandoned. And that orientation kind of evaporates. It feels as if God is absent and all we can see is hardship and pain and struggle, and we're filled with confusion and anger and fear, and we just want to be plucked up and out, but it seems unending. We're disoriented and struggle to find our footing. This week and our last week in the Psalms together, we are going to explore reorientation, this time where the fog of disorientation is lifted, where we begin to find meaning and understanding, and where we begin to experience God's presence anew. Psalm 73 does this really well for us. So let's hear this psalm together as we begin to unpack this third portion of the cycle of reorientation. I'm going to read verse 2, and then I'm going to jump to verse 21. Psalm 73. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Verse 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. And you destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. As this psalm starts out, we see a lot of past tense, right? In verse 2, the psalmist, the writer, talks about when their foot had slipped. In verse 21, it talks about when their heart was grieved. This is a remembering, a recounting of disorientation, a time and a part of the story that can't be undone. It now exists. It's now a part of the writer's journey. And then there's this beautiful moment in verse 23. This turning point that's represented in this small yet impactful word of yet. That's not it. That's not all there was. That was in the past. And the writer sees how God was with them all along. They recognize God's presence anew. They now have confidence that God was guiding them. He was the reason that they didn't completely fall apart. Through the hard, God had given them strength, and they're now beginning, as we see in verse 28, to experience God, to feel Him near again, and it feels good to feel near to God. I want us to look at one more psalm together to reiterate some of these things, to give us another example, and that's Psalm 18. I'm going to jump around a little bit as I do, but I'll guide you through. So Psalm 18, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Listen for the experience that is disorientation. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. We're going to jump to verse 16. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Jumping to verse 30 now. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. The last section we're going to read starts at verse 46. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues the nation under me, who saves me from my enemies, who exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises of your name. If we were to surmise this psalm, we could say that it was a psalm of gratitude for deliverance. It starts out with the writer feeling pretty good and praising God, right? But in verses 4 and 5, we see that it was not always that way. We get that past tense, that past hard struggle again. Right? Life had recently been a battle. The writer felt overwhelmed and distressed. It felt like death. But God heard the writer's cry, and in those verses 16 and following, he finally intervenes. God alone, not human strength or will or ability, was credited for saving this writer. And in verse 33, the writer is reminded, like, oh yeah, God, you are good. I can see you. You were there all along. I remember those seasons of orientation, and I can begin to say those good things about you and praise you again. Because you're beginning to make sense of this situation, and it was by your grace and your strength and your protection that I made it through anyway. That survival was at all possible. And then this psalm, like so many other psalms, ends in praises. It ends in praise to God. There's a new appreciation for God, which leads to renewed praises of God. I ask you, as I've asked you in weeks past, does anything about this strike a chord with you? What sticks out? What resonates with your own experiences? Maybe your past tense reminders of what you were delivered from was from a marriage gone wrong, or a season of abuse, or when you walked the scary road of ill health or financial insecurity, or maybe an especially difficult time for your mental health. And as you began to seek help, and as you began to heal, and as you began to work through things, you began to see more and more of God. And it's a sweet thing when we begin to see more and more of God, right? From the Psalms and from our own experiences, we're reminded that disorientation does not get the final word. Reorientation comes. Just as the sun rises on the darkest of nights, so too does reorientation dawn from disorientation. God rescues us from, as Anne of Green Gables might say, from the depths of despair, right? Those really dark places. God, though unseen, sustains his people through the hard. And at some point, we begin to see and we begin to realize, I'm making it through. I'm beginning to hope again. I'm beginning to make plans for the future again. I carry what has been, but I am healing, and I'm a bit unsteady on my feet, but I'm beginning to gain steam. God has made a way through the muck. And here's the deal. As much as we don't want it to be this way, as much as we wish it could be different, as much as we long for a world of no pain and no fear and no hard, there can be no reorientation without disorientation. The hard, though unwelcomed, makes the reawakening, the healing, all the sweeter and all the more cherished. So friends, we've now cycled through the Psalms. We've gone through this entire series, right? And we cycle through at different moments in our lives, at different phases. We find ourselves in these different categories. Sometimes we find ourselves in all three of these categories in any single day, right? We cycle through. Perhaps you are currently in a life moment where you feel oriented. Or maybe you find yourself in the fog of disorientation. Or maybe you're experiencing God's love anew. But wherever you are, I want to say to you, it's okay to be there. It's okay to be in that space. That place that you find yourself in is valid. And God is in that space with you. So through this series, my hope is that we've been able to start to name those places. We've been able to give some more vocabulary and meat to our own faith journeys, that we begin to express and cry out and praise and raise our joys to God along with the psalmists who help us because they have been there before us. They've walked this road. And so I hope that this book, as it has been for me, will continue to be a tool for you as you walk this journey of faith. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do thank you that the sun rises in the morning, God, and we thank you that each of those spaces, whether we are oriented to you, whether we feel confused, whether we are seeing you afresh and anew, God, we pray that we can see you and find you in them and praise you in them and give thanks to you in all things, God, and we pray that you do use all of it for your good and for your glory. Amen.